There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad you're here, live local talk, and I'd love to hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. That's where we had the first information coming in on this 65 northbound accident. This is at the 158, the 158. So if you're heading north, the first of the Saraland exits, not Celeste Road, but 158. Big thank you to my buddy and yours, but my buddy Bill Riles with News 5 said it is exit 13, 158. Hazmat has been called. They are diverting traffic. All right, so hazmat there. It's the 158 exit. So, okay, to translate that, it's the Walmart exit. It's the Walmart Crystals. It's our friends at Quince Sporting Goods. That exit, right? That one. That's 158. It says just it's just the bridge at the exit. Northbound traffic is exiting off and getting right back on at Sarah. Okay, yeah. Well, Dalton, we get the latest on that because it says just the bridge. So northbound traffic is exiting off. I guess they're getting on 158 and then going. Okay, and then they're getting back on going northbound. So if y'all know how that looks, if you're getting off at 158 for Saraland, you come off the six lanes coming off there. Two or three lanes coming off, and you could either go east or west, or if you stay straight, you can go back up to the on-ramp that takes you back onto northbound 65. So DOT on-site as well right now, routing traffic around that. All right. Somebody said this wreck is 2 hours old. I don't know. This is when it was called in to us, and coming up at the end of last hour, so that's why we're passing along that information. As we get more from the traffic department, we will let you know. You can always update us at 343-0106. All right, hit the refresh button. Don't want to, but hit the refresh button, and where are we? Down now. Okay, a little better. Down 221. 221 points on the Dow. S&P down 27.48. NASDAQ down 75. 78. Look at there. It's just on the words of Angelo Semifero from Mobile Bay Coins. Gold is up 11.80. And oil is down. Okay, yeah. Okay, here we go. So oil is down 3.24. Now, when do we see that shake out? What is the barrel price? When do we see that shake out at the pump? Have you ever noticed that? Like, when oil's on the way up, it travels. It moves on up. When it goes to fall, it's, you know, as they call, sticky, right? Which is kind of funny, petroleum, but it's sticky, and it does not fall nearly as quickly at the pump as it does in the exchange. And, oh, yeah, right now, you know what we'll get? Right now, I know it's a real thing. It would be fun to just be dishonest and rail against this and make something up. It is a real thing that they do have to switch to their winter blend and all that stuff. But it always cracks me up. They go, oh, it's more expensive right now because they're making the transition from summer blend into winter blend. And so, therefore, whatever, you know, they got to put in the winter blend costs you more money. So there you go. We'll go to the phones here and check in. I guess people are checking in from here. Hold on here. We go, Dalton, things were weird with the phone there a second ago, so I don't know what's going on. Let's see this. Let's go. Can we do this? Go to Eddie. And Eddie, you give us an update there on what's going on I-65?
Yeah, the tractor trailer, he's pulling two tandem trailers, and one came loose, and it hit the bridge, and tore the fuel tanks off of that truck, so that's why they're having to clean up. They got diesel fuel everywhere.
Okay, and so that's why hazmat.
Chickasaw exit, two tractor trailers just got together probably 5 minutes ago.
Oh no! Okay, so the exit just south.
And there's only one lane open down there now.
So one lane at Chickasaw, passing Chickasaw exit northbound,
going north,
and then the route around there at 158.
Yeah, 158. They just taking you off the interstate and putting you right back on. It's all on the bridge.
All right,
over 158.
But now you're telling us we're gonna be slowed down at Chickasaw anyway.
Yeah, you're gonna be. It's backed up all the way to Chickasaw now, but I guess they didn't. It started backing up, and it didn't look like they could stop.
Okay,
one's a regular tractor trailer, and one's hauling. Well, it's a log truck, but it's empty.
But you said this just happened. This just happened.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, it's going to be a long afternoon. Eddie, thank you for the update. We appreciate it.
So in other words, you need to go to the beach for the day.
I will call the boss and tell him that. Thank you, man. Or if you're coming up 65 right now, what I would do, it depends on where you're trying to go, but if I was trying to get to Points North, like if I was going to go to Citronelle or something, I'd just get off at 8 Mile, get on 45, take 45 up, and stay west of all that jazz.
Yeah, that update that Eddie just gave us, we've gotten two or three more calls about that wreck at the Chickasaw exit. What is that, exit 10? Is that right around there?
Yeah, so it's just the Chickasaw exit's right past where the 65 connector, the 165, comes in. Then you have Chickasaw, and then your next exit is at Saraland, 158, okay. After you cross over Chickasaw Creek, then you got 158.
So apparently that road...
It's not exit, and I hope people are not confusing. The road is 158. It's industrial.
Mm-hmm.
It's exit 13, I think.
Right. There were two or three more people that called in about that Chickasaw wreck, which is slowing this down even more today.
Right. So now you're going to be slowed down at Chickasaw once you get around there. Then you're going to have whatever's remaining for slowdown at Saraland.
That's correct.
Or you could just get off if you're on 65 northbound, get off on highway. It depends on where you're going. But you get on off at 8 Mile, get on 45, and roll on north.
Yeah. Or you can head south to I-10, go east and buy some Mega Millions tickets
there
today.
You go. That's probably the more logical answer.
I think so.
Maybe this is caused by somebody said, man, if I just start a wreck here, I can have an excuse to turn around and go get myself my lotto tickets. Oh, by the way, too, and thank you to Ben and others that put this up on Twitter. I think Cassie Fambro had put the story up on Twitter as well. She's with, I always do this, but my local NBC 50, WPMI, as I've always called them because I'm old-timer here. What is it? It's my NBC 15. All right. I know Cassie's name. It's the station. But she put the story up here. Remember way back in the spring? And I kept saying, there's a story that I was real interested in, and I talked about it a couple times, and a couple people were interested, and a couple people got angry at me because they said I was working against business in the United States. And I said, I'm not working against anybody. I just think this is a big, big question here. Would this be the next... maybe not the size of tobacco, but maybe a junior version of that, when there was a lawsuit against Monsanto, the makers of Roundup. Remember that? We talked about it. I said, y'all, this is going to be a story. It's going to be a story. Headline, judge has upheld Roundup weed killer verdict, although it has cut the award to $78 million. Northern California judge on Monday upheld a jury verdict that found Monsanto's weed killer caused a groundskeeper's cancer. Okay, this is what has left me scratching my head, y'all. I mean, I've used a lot of their product, glyphosate, or specifically Roundup in my life, in ag applications and driveway applications. I'm a guy who used it. I've used it within the last, used it in my house the last 2 weeks, used it in an ag setting in the last month, and a good bit of it. I mean, 50, 60 gallons of it. So it's not like I'm not anti-glyphosate or Roundup. Just telling you that I think this is something you should watch, because California is specifically a case in California, but does this end up becoming something that moves nationally? So here it is. So a Northern California judge upheld the jury verdict against Monsanto, but they did reduce the money to be paid from $289 million to $78 million. In denying Monsanto's request for a new trial, San Francisco Superior Court Judge Suzanne Bolanos cut the jury's punitive damage from $250 million to $39 million. The judge had earlier said she had strong doubts about the jury's entire punitive damage award. The judge gave Dwayne Johnson, not The Rock, but the man who had been working, Dwayne Johnson, until December 7th to accept the reduced amount or demand a new trial. Johnson's spokeswoman, Diana McKinley, said he and his lawyers are reviewing the decision and haven't decided on the next step. Said, although we believe a reduction in punitive damages was unwarranted and we are weighing the options, we are pleased the court did not disturb the verdict. Monsanto spokeswoman, Christy Dixon, said they did not return phone calls or emails placed to Monsanto. So that's their spokesperson, did not say anything. Jury awarded punitive damages after it found, here's the meat of this, that the St. Louis-based agribusiness had purposely ignored warnings that and evidence that its popular Roundup product causes cancer, including Johnson's lymphoma. That's what the plaintiff has, a specific disease that this groundskeeper has. Punitive damages are designed to punish companies that juries determine have purposely misbehaved and to deter others from operating in a similar manner. In a tentative ruling on October 11th, Bolanos, the judge, said it appeared that jurors overreached with their punitive damages award. She said that she was considering wiping out the $250 million judgment after finding no compelling evidence presented at trial that Monsanto employees ignored evidence that the weed killer caused cancer. Now, what we're getting into here is a nuanced discussion, right? It's the judge isn't saying, the judge is still sticking with the compensatory damages, right? That this person gets cancer and she's saying she agrees with that $39 million. It's not, and in this, I don't think the judge or the jury is saying they don't think the Roundup caused the cancer. They're saying, hey, Monsanto, you know, wasn't Dr. Evil here and knew it was happening and didn't care. Because that was one of the big ones, too. You had the compensatory in the tobacco lawsuits, but you also had the punitive. Remember that? Remember how big that was? Okay, the judge said the jurors are entitled to accept the conclusion of Johnson's expert witness who said Roundup has caused his cancer and reject the conclusions of Monsanto's expert witnesses who concluded there's no proof the weed killer causes cancer. Some jurors were so upset by the prospect of having their verdict thrown out that they wrote the judge, and they said the juror, Gary Katata, said, I urge you to respect and honor our verdict and the 6 weeks of our lives we dedicated to this trial. Juror Robert Howard said the jury paid studious attention to the evidence and any decision to overturn the verdict would shake his confidence in the judicial system. Wow. Johnson's lawsuit is among hundreds now alleging Roundup caused cancer, but it was the first one to go on trial. The story about Johnson, if you didn't hear the past stories that we did all through the spring and summer, Johnson sprayed Roundup and a similar product, Ranger Pro, at his job as a pest control manager at San Francisco Bay Area School District. According to his attorneys, he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2014 at age 42. Many government regulators have rejected the link between glyphosate and cancer. Monsanto has vehemently denied such a connection, saying hundreds of studies have established that glyphosate is safe. So there you go. So whether it's safe or I think what the judge is saying, they don't believe Monsanto was complicit in hiding information that way. But you talk about class actions. Think about all the things that make class action lawsuits out there. What if it ends up being Roundup? How much Roundup is at my house right now? Yikes.
This information. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 125 FM Talk 106.5. Yep, getting notes here from lots of people that are buying those lotto tickets in Florida and paying no sales tax on their groceries while they're there, and I guess buying booze for cheaper too. Of course, those things are against some of those things are like the booze thing. I don't know how much you're allowed to buy and bring back before you get in trouble. But the no sales tax—that's another thing we've tried to tackle over time here. Seems like it gets a little bit of traction, falls apart. I don't know if it makes it into session because so much of the revenue coming into our state is based on sales tax. But talk about taxes that make sense, and then taxes. I think full freight taxes on groceries just make a lot of sense here. Also, did we find out did city council make any? I mean, I know we've got now we're gonna have a parking app, right? We don't have to, when we go down there and finally do get lucky enough to find a parking place downtown, you know, we don't have the change to put in the machine, and there's, you're not going to be able to run into anywhere. Nobody's going to give you a bunch of change down there, right? And they know, I mean, so you got to have your own change. But now there's going to be a where you can use your phone to pay for your parking down there. Use some kind of app, some kind of funding source that's there. I don't know what else they were bouncing around with the Mobile City Council today. I do think it's interesting, even though I know they've nuanced it here, that if you remember back in the initial parts of the discussion over funding for a stadium at USA, remember that the city of Mobile the administration was on board. And to be honest with you, before they changed their opinion, there are a lot of members of the council that were. But the county, Mobile County Commission, was one kind of dragging their feet, remember? They said, well, I don't know if we're even going to do anything. And then yesterday, that announcement that while the city of Mobile is out, Mobile County is giving $2.5 million. Although here's what I said, the nuance. I love this. I love how this is done. So Mobile County has decided to spend $2.5 million on the project for a on-campus stadium at South. But like it said in one of our news updates from WKRG, I think it was Devin Walsh was saying, the money will technically go to sponsor an academic support center for student athletes. So it's not for the stadium. It's a three-story building located behind one of the end zones. Come on. So if they were going to have to build that anyway, then they take the money there and move it to the... they said the facility will be used by all 400-plus USA athletes, not just the football players. I would make an argument then, if you're spending county money as an economic incentive and you believe this is not the same as doing the stadium, you have to go like three more steps to show me how that brings revenue into the county more than just building the stadium, don't you? Okay. Also, yeah, then I saw the Pritchard City Council. I have not heard the audio yet, but it sounds like it was at least a little arguing going on there. Council member Lorenzo Barton held a press conference this morning after a conference with the mayor to address allegations against him in a letter distributed by the Pritchard mayor. This story from my NBC 15. It said Mayor Jimmy Gardner held a press conference this morning to announce the city is buying two new fire trucks that will arrive in November. And then there's some beef here about that, who's doing what. So we'll watch this. We'll get the audio here, hopefully, during the break. All right. We'll also come back. Good. I see here our buddy Brendan Kirby is going to join us. We'll talk with him in just a little bit and give you the latest. Let me hit refresh here. Let me hit refresh one more time. And I don't, sometimes it's good. It's better. Okay. It's better. Dow down just 144.84. S&P down 16.74. NASDAQ down 39.74. Gold is up 10.60. And oil is down 3.23. So we'll see. Is this the, Quinn was saying this morning, he thought it was the, Quinn Hillier came on and said he thought this was the start of a big collapse here. This was a big, now, of course, this is, when you say global, I think there's a definite argument to be made of a global portion of this, because look at how much of this is involved in following what has happened in China and how much of our economy, even though it's less now with the tariffs, right, but how much of our economy is involved with things we buy from China or things the Chinese buy from us, and how linked at the hip are we to the Chinese? I guess that will be borne out in this discussion as well, and other places in the world. You know, if you have, you know, look at the FTSE or look at the Nikkei Index or others, if they are trading with the Chinese and they're down and they have their economies have slowed so they can't do business with us at the same rate as before, well, then we pay for it, don't we? All right, well, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we get back with Brendan, because a couple stories I want to talk to him about. First of all, the president in Houston stumping for Ted Cruz. Now, wait a second. This is one of the things that leaves me, I don't think I could ever handle the environment of politics. Just when you see people that are not just that debate each other, but that are in the name game and slamming each other, and then, you know, they get through an election and then they're all hunky dory again and everybody's on the same side. I don't know if I can get around that, but we'll see. Seems like Ted Cruz can do that and has the president stumping for Lion Ted in Houston. And also the caravan heads north. What's the timeline on that and what's the real story? We'll tackle all that when we get back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Tuesday style. Glad you're here. Check in with our buddy Brendan Kirby from LifeSet.com, also the author of Wicked Mobile, and fresh from a phone conference, was it a telephone meeting or something like that, with some numbers here that y'all be the first to hear, some of the first in the nation, let alone here in our area to hear. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, conference call with senior administration officials releasing the illegal border crossing numbers for September and also for the entire fiscal year. There were over 50,000 people who came across the southwest border in September, and 529,000 for the year. And what we saw is the highest number of border crossings in any September ever of unaccompanied minors and adults traveling with children that the government calls family units. So this is the crisis that everyone has been watching playing out with this caravan, and just generally we've had a huge, huge increase in Central American families coming, and that was something that we just didn't see before. A decade ago, almost everybody who came illegally into the United States were single adults, mainly single men, and mainly single men from Mexico. And we're not seeing that now. We're seeing the entire families from Central America, and sometimes kids coming by themselves.
Wait a second. So with President Trump in office, the numbers are up.
The numbers are up. Well, they took the
they went down
pretty dramatically last year, because you know, he came into office with all this top rhetoric, and the numbers plummeted, and was they were very low last year. That's why you see a lot of Democratic politicians saying, hey, border crossings are at an all-time low. What's Trump complaining about? Well, that's outdated, because when the smugglers found out that there were no policy changes to accompany that tough rhetoric, you know, the numbers started surging back up. And here's the problem. We have this strange immigration system where we treat people from Mexico differently than people from anywhere else. If somebody comes from Mexico and Border Patrol catches them, they just send them right back. You can get it done within hours or days. If they're not from Mexico, it triggers all these processes. And that's what we see. You know, children cannot be detained for longer than 72 hours if they're alone. If children are traveling with families, they can't be detained longer than 20 days, and then they have to be sent back. And you know, you can detain the parents still, but we tried that, and you remember the big blow-up backlash from that. So we have a situation where it's catch and release. They catch these families, they release the children, and they release the adults too, because you don't want to separate families. And then they sort of disappear into the ether, and it's, you know, very few of them end up getting deported. So this is, you know, the hands of the administration are kind of tied because of court rulings and because of legal restrictions. In order for this to change, Congress has to change the law.
Okay, but that's not happening anytime soon. Heck, they're, you can't get anything else done, let alone they're not in, you know, in session. I mean, so what do we do? What changes?
There's not really much we can do. You know, theoretically, if you could make a quick determination on these asylum claims, you could possibly you know, get them out, but you know, it takes longer than 20 days to do that, so you can't really do that. And this is the issue, and the officials that we were talking to on the conference call stressed this today. If we could detain people, there would be no crisis, because you would catch them and you'd put them in lockup, and then they would be able to pursue their asylum claims. But if they ended up being meritless, you would just send them back home because they're in custody. But if they're out of custody and they abscond, and the rate is high, it's very hard to track them down in expenses. So you figure, if you live in Honduras and you want to come here and you have $7,000, your life savings basically, to pay to a smuggler to get you up there, are you going to take that risk if you know that if you're caught, you're going to be detained until you're sent back, whether you bring a child or not? They probably would not do that. And even if they did do that, they would be detained and sent back. So yeah, so it requires a change in the law, and you know, I mean, there's virtually no support among Democrats in Congress for doing that. So So we have this situation where we have de facto open borders. Unless you come by yourself as an adult, then we can still detain you and send you back.
All right. So what does this mean for whatever the running number is now on the caravan or the what people call it, mob or whatever, that the group of people moving up from Central America towards the U.S.-Mexico border?
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, when this the last time we had one of these big caravans back in April, it sort of broke apart as they went through Mexico, and you know, a lot of them ended up staying in Mexico, or some of them got detained and sent back. So I suspect we'll see some of that. And then the ones who make it to the border, once they, you know, if they can just get across the border, and then they claim they have a credible fear of persecution, which is what, you know, many of them are doing now, they'll be treated just like everyone else. I mean, the caravan gets a lot of attention because it's visible, but we have a caravan's load worth of people every few days that come across the border. It's just, you know, they don't do it all at once.
Right.
It's individuals and individual groups. And, you know, I mean, most of these asylum claims, people who make it past that first screening level, and then that gets them admitted into the country, and then they're supposed to show up then to pursue their claim in court to get, you know, an official asylum claim. A whole lot of those people never even show up in court to pursue asylum, which suggests that, you know, they were kind of meritless claims. And the ones who do show up in court, something like 4 out of every 5 are rejected because, most of the people coming by their own admission, what they tell reporters is, my neighborhood is crappy and I need to come to a place with a better job. And there's a lot of gang violence. And that is certainly a sad circumstance, but it doesn't qualify under the law for asylum, which requires you to demonstrate that you're being persecuted because of your race or your ethnicity or your political affiliation or something like that.
I'm talking to Brendan Kirby with LifeSet.com, author of Wicked Mobile. I think it's interesting the point you make there, and it's one that I've talked about with immigration or illegal immigration and also gun violence, is that when it is a thing, right, when the media can, including us, because I mean, I hate it when people that are in the media pretend they're, but including us, all of us, when something is easier to focus on, and in the case of gun violence, it's a mass shooting. But you compare that against the number of people shot across the country every day. And, you know, where those issues are, those don't get looked at, but the high-profile one does. Same thing here with illegal border crossing day in and day out being these high numbers. But this caravan, that gets the attention. I guess it's because it's an easier story for us in the media to tell, I guess.
Well, it's more dramatic, obviously.
Sure.
If somebody goes into a school and, you know, shoots a dozen people, the victims are children. I mean, that obviously, horrifies people.
But it could be any kind of mass shooting,
extent.
Even outside of the school.
Yeah, even it could be a workplace shooting.
Right.
It's a more dramatic event. The body count is higher. The people are usually just completely random victims. So that kind of hits home in a way that other gun violence doesn't. But most of gun violence in the United States, most of it is suicide. Most of the gun deaths are suicides. And then most of the rest are, one-on-one shootings, domestic violence situations, crime, drug dealers shooting other drug dealers. And that just doesn't, hit home, I don't think, in a way, if one drug dealer shoots another, people mostly don't identify with that, unless they're drug dealers. But anyone can get shot at work. Anyone can identify with their kid being at a school. And, that heightens the fear factor. But, it would be a small percentage of the overall death toll in America.
All right. We're coming right back. More with Brendan Kirby, and we'll talk about the president stumping for Lion Ted. It's funny how politics makes people friends again, right? Or friends for the first time, or at least not enemies.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Brendan Kirby. By the way, Paul Feinbaum on the way just about 10 minutes from right now. credit with LifeSet.com, author of Wicked Mobile. And if you want to get a copy of that now, either check there at the end cap at your favorite pharmacy, or, I mean, you could go online if you wanted to, I guess, right?
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to buy. You can even get the Kindle version. Although if you ever saw me in person, that'd be harder to sign. but you can get the physical book at local bookstores. You can order the physical book online. Lots of different ways.
All right, and hopefully we'll have some event here before Christmas time where we'll have some books to get signed and for you to pick up.
That'd be excellent.
All right, so we want to shift gears here for a second from just the discussion of the caravan to just, I've heard clips. I did not hear the whole thing. But a Houston rally that was there for trying to get Senator Ted Cruz across the finish line. It was Donald Trump talking about, it's not lying Ted Cruz anymore, right? It's not his dad was part of the assassination of Kennedy. He's now turned things around. Now it's his buddy, man. He's a great guy.
Right, it's beautiful Ted Cruz.
Beautiful Ted Cruz,
Texas,
that's it.
Texas Ted.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure
this is where I check out. This is where I check out of the Trump stuff. This is where, when he starts it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go sit over here for a while. I'll come back when you talk policy.
Well, you know, I mean, I watch a lot of these things because of the nature of my work, and they tend to get repetitive because he does a lot of the same stuff. I mean, all politicians do with their stump speech. You know, he hits the dishonest media, and he gets some nice years out of that, and he talks about all the Make America Great stuff, and he reels off all the economy, but you know, he goes on for a long time, and I have to say, I understand people who don't like Trump, I don't like him, but I find him very entertaining in this kind of environment. This is his skill set. You know, he is a performer above everything else, you know, even more than being a real estate developer. He knows how to work a crowd, and you know, he gets in front of a big crowd that is adoring, and he just sort of goes off the rails. So yeah, I mean, you know, we make a lot of fun of the president, and people like pointing out all the different ways where, you know, he's different or unusual compared to past, you know, presidents, and people can either mean that in a good way or a bad way. But this is one really where it's not so different. You usually don't have one politician accuse the other of having a father that was complicit in the Kennedy assassination. So, you know, the nature of the attacks were unusual, but it is not unusual for politicians competing for a nomination to get vicious and nasty and then kiss and make up later. So, I mean, that's normal politics.
No,
you have
it
a really
is, but
tough race against someone.
Well, I pointed pictures at both of them. That's what I'm saying. It's one of the reasons I think that wouldn't be the gig for me, because at a certain point now, if they said, yeah, that person's stupid and they don't know, you know, their philosophy or their idea on this or that is a stupid idea, then that's fine. I mean, it's a blood sport. But it got on a ridiculous level. So it's not just pointing a picture, a finger at President Trump. It's pointed at Ted Cruz, and he's like, I know all those things you said, but man, if you'll come stump for me so I can keep my Senate gig, I come on.
Well, you know, their interests align now.
I know.
Obviously, Ted Cruz has an interest in getting reelected.
Sure.
That's not really hard to see. And Trump has an interest in Cruz getting reelected because he knows that it's a 51-49 majority. As he says, you know, if one of our senators has a cold, we don't have a majority anymore. That's one of his lines that he uses over and over. And it's true. I mean, you look at the Kavanaugh confirmation, that was almost the party line vote. So, he needs Cruz, and, you know, Cruz, I don't know if Cruz needs Trump to win this race. You know, he's been ahead in the polls the whole campaign.
Well, but what is the story with this?
He's saying things that benefit him.
What is the story? I mean, the Beto thing. I mean, is it, like, I'm watching it from a distance here, and here, you know, Willie Nelson has a concert for him and this and that, and then there's, is this close? I didn't think Texas was, although Texas can go blue. People are surprised by that, but Texas can go blue in some places, but I didn't think Ted Cruz was in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know if Ted Cruz is in trouble. I think Ted Cruz could lose if there is a huge, huge turnout surge, you know, and a differential. If young voters and minority voters come out, you know, at presidential election numbers.
Are you trying to say
the Republican turnout is more of a normal midterm? Yes, Beto could win, and he's got more money. I mean, he's raised a record amount of money. You know, it's unusual for an incumbent to be at a cash disadvantage, but Cruz is at a pretty significant cash disadvantage. But, you know, Cruz is still favored to win, but it's probably going to be a single-digit type result. Remember, looking back at the presidential election, Trump won Texas, but he didn't blow out Hillary Clinton in Texas.
Right.
He won Alabama by a much greater margin, and Alabama has a Democratic senator now. So
yeah, but okay, you know, come on, I'm not going to let that go.
Situation, you know, and everything. I'm just demonstrating that just because Texas has not had a Democratic senator since the early 1990s doesn't mean Texas couldn't have a Democratic senator.
It's had a Democratic governor recently, right? Within the last 10 years, right?
The last 10 years of the what?
Didn't Texas have a Democrat governor, though? When was Ann Richards? She was...
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was before George W. Bush. So that was back in the late 80s, early 90s, because if you'll recall, I guess into the 90s, because George W. Bush beat her when she was seeking re-election in 92, was it, I think?
Okay.
Maybe it's a little later. Maybe it was 96. But yeah, I mean, it's been a while, is what I'm saying. Texas is a red state, but you know, it's a big state. It has a lot of minority voters. Now, Hispanic voters in Texas tend to be more Republican than Hispanic voters, say, in California. Mm-hmm. Us gringos make the mistake of just thinking that everyone with a Hispanic surname is the same.
Not and this gringo.
There's a lot of differences. Well, I mean, you know, I'm generalizing about the gringos, but. The Hispanic vote is not one monolithic thing, and in Texas there tends to be a lot of Mexican families who have been in Texas before Texas was in the United States, and they're much more assimilated and much more likely to be Republicans than newer arrivals.
They're much more Texan than half the people in Austin that moved from somewhere else
There are liberal pockets in Texas, and the really big thing for Beto is the suburbs in the big cities in Texas tend to be like the suburbs in Alabama and other places in the South, much more conservative than the suburbs in the Northeast. But there's some signs that highly educated suburban voters are trending towards the Democrats everywhere. And if that push is big enough in Texas, it could make Beto senator. And if not now, you know, who knows, 4 years from now, 8 years from now, eventually it's conceivable that Texas will become a swing state. The Democrats have been licking their chops at that prospect for a long time, and eventually it might happen. We'll just have to see.
There we go. Brendan Kirby, LifeSet.com, author of Wicked Mobile, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
All right. Check him out on Twitter as well, at Brendan K. Kirby. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I'll check in with y'all tomorrow morning bright and early. I think it'll be 6 o'clock. Yeah, 6 o'clock. Let's do that morning show. Feinbaum next.